This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's show, we're going to be focusing on the Young Event Horse and future Event Horse programs. We're going to hear from Samantha Allen, who is one of the clinicians at an upcoming clinic. Robin Walker is going to tell us about the introduction of jumping into the future Event Horse program. And we're also going to hear from Debbie Adams. Debbie, of course, is a judge, trainer, as well as a competitor herself. And she has some good advice on what to look for and how to develop the gallop in the young horse. Well, Robin Walker joins us now. Robin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, of course, the Young Event Horse program here at the USEA is something that you feel passionate about. And what we'd like to talk about today, Robin, is the introduction of jumping to the program, because that is something that you felt very passionate about, isn't it, bringing this in, and why it's important to have it in the program.
It was something, when Susan asked me in the beginning, would I be involved on the committee, the FEH side of things? Obviously, when you're at YEH, the horses are already under tack and jumping. But from the FEH side of things, that was something that I wanted to get involved in right away. However, it became pretty clear that the program, the FEH side of things, needed to get deeper and a bit more structured and a bit more a few more legs on it before we went down that road. So it's been under discussion at the committee level for a while now. But this year felt like it was the year that we should make that step and start to go down that road.
Those that are not party to those committee conversations, Robin, explain why you felt it was important and the journey for this to be included in the program over here.
Well, my personal feelings on it were I would never buy a three-year-old that I didn't see jump. You know, there is a school of thought that says, well, just because it jumps on the loose, you know, there's no proof that it's going to jump on the tack. But you know, there's some validity to that in certain areas. But when we were traveling to Ireland and buying the three-year-olds, you get to see them move, you get to see how coordinated they are, you get to see how much scope they have, you get to see the whole picture, or more of the picture, or as much of the picture as you really can see. So, but when you start to think about putting that in a, you know, I'm used to seeing it in a much older format, meaning it's been around a long time. People know what they're doing. And when you start producing your own horses at home, like we've done, and you start to realize that young horses and the way they can react in certain situations is not always predictable. It's the most diplomatic way of describing that, I think. So once you decide you're going to try and put this into a more structured program, but also into something that you're going to have a standard for and award marks for and judge, that takes quite a bit of thought and a lot of effort and loads of consideration in terms of the safety side of things and how you're going to structure it and what's going to be acceptable and how you're going to educate people into getting the horses ready. What are they going to expect on the day? So as you can imagine, that process doesn't occur. It may occur in your own head in a few minutes, but it doesn't occur when you start to think of all the ramifications. It doesn't occur overnight. So that's all the things that have basically been discussed behind the scenes going into this going forward.
And this is something that was agreed upon for the East Coast, to start over on the East Coast. Is that correct, Robin?
Correct. East Coast is we're going to do it this year. It'll be at Lochmoy on October the 8th. That will be our East Coast finals. The jumping pen that will be used has already been used and tested at the symposium down in Florida in the winter. Worked very well. It's going to work very well. Obviously, some hitches here and there that will work out, but that's where we'll work everything out, and then we'll make a proper attempt to transfer that so both coasts are equal. But for now, we've got enough on our plate to stay on the East Coast and make sure we get the bugs worked out of the system before we move on.
Well, given your European, you know, background and view on the development of the young event horses, Robin, explain to everyone why you feel it's important to view these horses in including, you know, the jumping component. Why that is critical to the development of the young event horse?
Well, you fall back on your own experience, I think. I mean, when you're looking at horses and you're looking to buy them, or you're looking to your own horses that you've bred, as we've bred a few here now, you want to see what they're turning out like. I mean, it's very simple. It starts very simple. Maybe in the fall of the second year, we would just give them a spin down a chute and see how coordinated they were, how naturally balanced they were, how good they are with their feet, how much raw jump they've got. They wouldn't do a whole lot, but once they're turning three and starting to, you know, get started on the tack and long lining and driving, and you basically need to see what you've got. It's clear from the first couple of times that you're not going to really need to do a whole lot with them because they're natural at it. Some it's clear that they're not natural at all, and some are not very good. So from a breeder's perspective, it's probably a good idea to be finding that out, you know, within reason, as early as you can. So it's just something that we're used to doing. Certainly if you have something that goes down the chute and it's scopy and balanced and naturally balanced through the air, makes a nice shape, great with its feet, good concentration, and does that naturally, well, then you're going to leave that alone, and you're not going to ask too many questions until it's under tack and going. But I think it's as much a weeding out process, certainly for me here with the young ones that we've bred. I've made a few mistakes already, and that when you start adding up what that costs as four-year-olds, taking them around the place, and they turn out to not be very good, then from that side of it, then we probably should have done a bit more with them. But it's a window in to see what you've got, and when you start to think about including it in a competition, then, and as a marketplace for a breeder who has got something to sell, and start to attract the interest of some of the riders over here, and that's a huge part. 2/3 of what we do is jumping based, and canter based. So it's just a natural, logical development.
Yeah, and of course with this program, as you say, it takes a while to roll out a program when you're including a new element to it. But give us an idea of what that has looked like then. As you say, you tested in an Ocala. It will be used in the finals in October. What should people get to know about it, Robin?
Well, I'll start from that. I mean, start from the beginning. The first discussion was the height of the pen we were going to use, and we modelled that on the one at Spy Coast Farm, which I know the young horse manager there very well, and he's massive experience. So the pen is 7 feet, and it's 7 feet for a reason, because we all agreed that we'd had horses challenged 6 feet. So that obviously you don't want somebody else's horse that simply comes in into a situation it maybe is not familiar with an atmosphere and decides it's leaving. We all agreed that was one of the most critical things to get that bit right. So that worked really well in Ocala. It was clear that the young horses, we had a more experienced horse, we had a less experienced horse, and then I brought one of my real young ones that had never been anywhere, just to see what would happen, and that worked nicely. Then Samantha Allen and I laid out the structure of the chute as it will be, both in the education part of it in July that we're going to do at Loch Moy, and also on the test, on the practice day before the finals. So we laid that out on the ground and went through it with the distances, and then we've established the height of the fences and the maximum height of the Oxer at the end. And then we did a a demonstration with each horse, and during this whole process of sorting all this out, you know, was parameters on what we're going to allow and what we're not going to allow. And for instance, if we get a big rangy scopy horse come in, we maybe need to change the distances. People be allowed to do that. And, that'll be within reason, obviously. But if somebody comes in with a horse that's completely overwhelmed and they don't feel like putting their horse, their three-year-old in on the judging day, then that's fine. They don't need to do that. It won't be a, you know, you have to do this type of deal. So you'll still only be able to do the in-hand if you're not comfortable with the jumping. So it's as much of an educational starting point as it is a competition in itself. And to that end, in July, on the 16th, we'll be doing a, at Loch Moy, we'll be doing a video, and people can, that'll be an educational video. People can find all the information, the flyers out, by logging onto the USCA website or Loch Moy and go digging after that information. It's all being developed right now, and that'll all be put out there, so that people know what to expect and how to get their horses ready. So there's no, my end game is that there is no surprises. When people turn up at the finals on the East Coast, they will have already seen what they're going to be presented with. They'll already know all the rules, all the information will be out there, and they'll have had a chance to get their feet wet before they put their horses into that environment.
And understand the scoring too, of course.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
All right, Robin. Well, it's obviously a big step forward in moving in the right direction there for the Young Event Horse and the Future Event Horse program. So I want to thank you very much, of course, for your input and for coming on the program and sharing that with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Samantha Allen joins me now to tell us about this upcoming Future Event Horse Clinic. Samantha, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Now, you're going to be presenting at this clinic. Tell us a little bit about it, where it's going to be held and when, and the format for it.
It's going to be held at Loch Moy Farm in Adamstown, Maryland on July 16th. The format is going to be similar to what we plan to do at championships. We're hoping to have the exact ring set up, and will be, it depends on the age of the horses that come in, but we'll be starting them from ground poles and working their way up as their experience sees fit.
All right, so it's a day-long program. Which aspect of that will you be speaking to?
Well, Robin and I will be working together with the horses, usually just making the decisions on what heights and what distances, kind of guiding the owners and handlers. One of us will act as the whip person as well. And just sort of guiding them through how to introduce their horses to this shoot. And if they're more advanced, then what kinds of exercises they can do to help their horses improve.
And how many horses do you expect to be looking at?
You know, I'm not really sure yet, because this is one of the first times we've done this. And they've just put it out. So we're sort of waiting to see.
Okay. And how can people find out about it and apply to take part in the clinic, Samantha?
I believe there's a flyer up on the Maryland Horse Trials website, and I believe it's also on the U.S. Eventing calendar site.
Right. Well, I had Robin talk to us a little bit about introducing the jumping element to the program here. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts and philosophy about having that component as an important part of developing the young event horse and the future event horse.
I think it's a very important part with the horses jumping. You know, they can learn how to use their bodies without the interference of a rider. You know, good riders can help horses, but sometimes if you make a mistake, they can hold that against you. And this teaches them to think a little more independently. And they can make mistakes and come back from them more easily.
What sort of arrangement do you have there for it? Do you know, is it in an indoor arena or a pen?
As of right now, as far as I know, it's going to be in the pen, probably not in the indoor, one of the outdoor rings. It's 7 feet tall. It's the dimensions are approximately 150 by 70, give or take a little bit. You can see through it. So watching, you can see what's going on. And this is the same arena we hope to be using for championships.
All right, terrific. So remind everybody again of the dates and the venue for this and where they can find more information, Samantha.
It's at Lochmoy Farm in Adamstown, Maryland, and it's on July 16th. There should be a flyer up on the U.S. Eventing website, as well as the Maryland Horse Trials website.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you very much for telling us about this, and we'll obviously encourage people to go to those websites to find out more information. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Okay, thank you.
And Sam will be judging the future event horse on both the East and West Coast, and she'll also be joined by Peter Gray on the East Coast with Robin Walker. The USEA has also just announced that Judy Bradwell, B. DeGrazia, and Kathy Tucker-Slaterbeck will be the judges for the Young Event Horse Championships. Debbie Adams joins me now to talk about an article that she recently wrote on one of her favorite topics. Debbie, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Christine. I'm glad to be back.
Well, it is one of your favorite topics, of course. You're passionate about so many aspects of the sport, but the gallop and the purity of the gallop is all important to the event horse, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think that people forget how important it is until it's not going well. To me, it's the fourth phase. You dressage, you show jump, you cross country, and you gallop, and I think you need to train the gallop.
What is it that you're looking for in that young event horse, then, to define the gallop and the quality of the gallop at that early stage of his life?
If I was going to sum it up to make it very concise, I would say elasticity, balance, rhythm. Components are what I need in a horse that I think is going to move up the level. And they need to learn how to maintain those qualities by carrying the weight of a rider.
Now, is this something that you can confirm when they're not ridden at that young age, or do you need them under tack to establish that?
I really believe you have to put them under tack to establish anything, even their jumping. I mean, free jumping, their arc can be quite different alone versus carrying weight. When I shop for young horses, I always at least do a small gallop, even in an arena, just to see their reaction to the leg, not only if they move off the leg quickly, but how they do it. Do they flatten? Do they lengthen? Do they quicken? Are they willing to face the bridle? Not that I expect them to do all those things. I just want to know what they have naturally, what it is we have to develop, and if it's that going to be something that's difficult for them when they get to the upper levels. And you can tell a lot in a large arena galloping.
Well, of course, we're assessing the young event horse here, Debbie. So when you look at them, are you taking into account in that assessment their conformation, their development at that stage, and their breeding?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everybody gets all excited because young racehorses gallop. But it's a very different gallop because that is just flat-out speed. It's not worried about balance. It's not worried about adjustability. It's just the fastest. What we want for the event horses is, can they adjust it? Can they change the balance? Can they change the length of step? And can they do that in an agreeable state of mind? So it's something that you really do have to start working with them quite young so they just understand it.
Well, balance and rhythm, of course, are key. And you mentioned the racehorse there. Let's look at American Pharoah, who won the Triple Crown at the weekend. That's a horse.
Oh my God, he's beautiful.
That's a horse that, Debbie, that got into his rhythm right at the start of his race, and he always does. And he then gets into this beautiful shape and rhythm that never changes throughout. And you're looking for that in the event horse before, during, and after a fence too, aren't you? So are you able to establish that they have that quality of rhythm at a very young age?
Well, like many things, it's always easy to see the ones that have it. It's harder to see the ones that are going to develop on what they were given. Mm. Like watching that racehorse this weekend was just so exciting. How many of you didn't jump up and scream watching him? But he obviously can just open up his step quite carefully, quite easily, and he just covers the ground. So, yeah, we'd all like to make him an event horse.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the other points of your article then, Debbie. What would you like to draw people's attention to?
I just think they need to get the horses out of the arena, ride them on uneven terrain so they use all their body parts. I mean, anybody that schools horses know it's quite different out in the field and uneven. Well, I like to put them where it's uneven, so they have to adjust front legs, hind legs, neck, back, so that they get used to using all those parts without even thinking about it, without being worried about going downhill or struggling coming uphill. I don't like to see young horses get super fit. I don't gallop them for fitness at an early stage, but I do start a small gallop, lengthening, shortening the canter. I mean, the show horse people would definitely think it's a serious gallop. But the eventers don't, you know, it would only be like novice training speed. But so that the horses learn, it's just part of life, that they don't get excited when you pick up the pace, and that they still stay quite rideable.
Well, you mentioned there going up and down undulating terrain, and of course the value of fox hunting is all too critical. When in the young event horse, you see it in Europe a lot, of course, they're going up and down that uneven terrain in very difficult footing in some cases, or very often in the depth of winter. Do you think that helps them establish the rhythm in their gallop and the quality of their gallop because their balance is already established?
Well, my parallel would be like when we go to work out in the gym, we do different exercises to develop our body for a specific goal. And I think taking horses out and hunting them or riding them in the open like I do with the little exercises up and down the hill and darting in and out of the woods just prepares them for their big goal. I don't think it's essential to hunt. Maybe I say that because we don't really have much hunting available in this country. So I think we have to do it being a bit clever on our own. I'm sure hunting's wonderful.
And now what about getting the horse uphill in front? You don't want them on their forehand, but the youngsters are going to be on their forehand. And how that affects their gallop? Talk a little bit about that.
Good point, because it's really relative. I mean, a 4 or 5 year old is not going to be incredibly uphill. They're just going to be finding their feet. I'm doing one this morning, and all I want him to do is lengthen and shorten his step facing the bridle, and I will have to organize this horse because he's big and he's young and he hasn't been in the open for more than, 2-3 months. Other than that, he was started in the ring, so it's all new to him. So all I need to do is be able to change the balance. If it's not tremendously uphill or tremendous lengthening, it doesn't matter. That's just your starting point. You know, it's like everything else we develop in the horses. You get a starting point and you work with it. So this youngster will just, I would say, go from a normal ring canter all through the different gears up to like a training level 450 and then back down, and he'll slow down for his turns and he'll do different paces going up a hill and down a hill and just little slopes, almost like little slalom slopes. So he'll go up and down and up and down so that he doesn't even think about it, you know, that it doesn't distract him, so that when I go to add the fences at that point, he won't be stiffening against the effort.
Talk a little bit about getting that young horse gallop in the first instance, Debbie, when you start them to gallop. What would you say to riders who maybe haven't had a lot of practice at this and want to make sure that horse is balanced, and how much they want in their hand at that point teaching the horse to correctly gallop?
Of course, I would say if you're not familiar with galloping, then get somebody to help you that does our sport. It's worth having somebody just watch you, put you in a good position, because you can do everything by the book that you're going to read, but if your position's off or your stirrups are too long or something, you're not going to be a benefit to that young horse. You have to be able to stay out of their way. You have to have enough weight in your leg, have your upper body position and such that the horse doesn't think about you except for responding to the aids. I mean, the balance of the rider is crucial for young horses, and I think that makes all the difference in their confidence.
So how long would you suggest they start with their galloping then when you're teaching that horse? You know, very beginning, we're talking about the Young Event Horse Program here, you know, preparing these horses. And, you know, and you just want to get them used to the idea of galloping. This is the next phase, as you call it, and you want to do it correctly. So how long would you gallop them for, and how frequently?
Okay, so I put it in their workout. It's not really a duration because, again, I just, you know, really fit young horses, you're opening up a can of worms you never wanted. So I wouldn't do enough to say, oh, I'm conditioning a young horse. It's not like I'm going to go out and do 3 threes of gallop. But what I'll do is, like, this guy will go out and do easy flat work in the field, so I know he's listening. Just walk, trot, canter, little simple leg yields. I want him to face the bridle. I want to feel a little tug in both reins. I want his nose leading, his pole the highest point, so that he's capable of using his body. And then maybe I have a field which I would say is roughly 4 times the size of a show jump field, just for a measurement. And I'll just lengthen down the long side, bring him back for the corner, lengthen the long side a couple times. Then I'll try lengthening through easy turns. I might only do that, I mean, it's going to be hot today, so I'll probably do that maybe 3 or 4 times on each lead. If he's good at that, we'll walk in the shade for a little bit, and then I'll just try to lengthen slightly going uphill. So he's going to probably lengthen shorten today, at the most 8 times, and like I said, just no more than the length of 4 show jump fields. And this is a horse getting ready to do his first novice in 2 weeks.
Coming to the end of that gallop, you see riders just drop the reins completely, let them crumple into a walk. You see them just amble into a trot. Talk a little bit about that, because it's just as important as the gallop itself, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. Maybe even more so, because that's where a lot of your injuries occur, is not in the workout, but when you go to pull up and the horse is tired and nobody's there to help him balance, but you're still on his back, affecting his balance, but then you give up your job. I look at a horse's body like a coiled spring or a slinky, and to keep that slinky moving, you have to have it connected between both hands. When you're playing with it in the yard, when you're on a horse, it's your leg and hand. So when I slow them down, it's all connected. It's on contact. I push them together to slow down, standing, because I want the horse's back to be able to move and be free. And I usually do it on a curve so you don't get that lateral stiffening and bracing in the jaw. Just a gentle curve, bigger than 20 meters, so that the horse can bring his hind end up under him and then his back keeps moving. Then you don't get that jarring weight on the forehand, and then you get the horse that learns to pull up facing the bridle.
That's great advice, and I think, as you say, as every bit as important as the gallop itself, Debbie. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the program again this week and sharing your thoughts on the importance of the gallop.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Chris. I enjoyed that.
And you can read Debbie's article on the website at useventing.com, where you'll find more information about both the Young Event Horse and Future Event Horse programs. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.